Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Again for another episode, yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near, and I thank you all, yes, I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes, directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promised times of refreshing are upon us, the time to rediscover the ancient truths, the time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten, my truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things, precious truths, that men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light. When all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed. When indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah!
We're back. Yes, indeed. I thank the Most High. Yes, I do. We're back again. Yes, we're back again, my brothers and sisters, for another episode. Another very, very precious episode of Hidden Gospel. Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Edemia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, yes indeed, for this opportunity. Yes, for this very, very precious opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words. The Most High has granted us the healing of our people. For the Most High has told me, yes indeed, directly has he told me, and I must tell you things. Yes, then indeed, I must tell you things. That men have done some of everything they could. Yes, that men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, I said, if they could, to destroy. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that all things written and promised according to the will of the Most High, according to his word, relates, my brothers and sisters, that all things that the Most High has spoken of old must surely, in all things that he has declared, according to his plan, be brought to remembrance. His word will not return to him void. And the Most High, my brothers and sisters, without question, sends a prophet. Yes, he sends a prophet to speak what others would not. I'd like to read a bit of scripture to you, my brothers and sisters. I'd like it to be well understood where I'm going with this. Something I want to say to you tonight might sound for many a bit harsh, but the truth is what it is. I said the truth is what it is. Man desires to soften it up. Won't change what the reality is. My brothers and sisters, let us understand that the Most High created man. He made this world that it functioned in harmony with his will. I said that it functioned in harmony with his will. No contradiction, No self-righteousness. And our brothers and sisters, quite frankly, He didn't create it, my brothers and sisters, that it functioned after the designs, the anomalies, the differences, the seen wise unto men. He created it, my brothers and sisters, for His purpose. Man was made to function after His Spirit as a habitation for the Holy Spirit, to emanate the thoughts and the mind, yes, of its Creator, in harmony, my brothers and sisters, cooperatively. And we have to just simply look around for a moment. It's evident that the massive contentions and divisions we see amongst us has not been true to that initial purpose. Some would simply say that that is just man being man, functioning according to his designs and opinions. I got news for you. Man's designs and opinions, my brothers and sisters, apart from what the Most High declared from the beginning, will not give him, in fact, it won't give any man license unto the kingdom of Yah. Any man of doctrine, my brothers and sisters, irrespective of what the Most High declared from the beginning, is far from the plan for life and peace. I want you to consider something. Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit of the Most High is given. If they were to translate it right in every text, it would say the Spirit of Yah is given. That the righteousness of the Most High, I said the fullness of all that is divine will, might be manifest in us. Why? The Most High had a plan. He created everything to function according to His will, not according to any of the rebelliousness, a misinformation, or presumptuousness of another. But man, my brothers and sisters, was tricked in the garden, didn't love the Most High, didn't believe Him enough. I say did not love and believe the Most High enough. Man was created to emanate the thoughts of his Creator, in communion with his Creator. But he was tricked. Tricked into believing that if he walked after the ideas or the opinions or the instruction of another, it'd be like a god. My brothers and sisters, all man did when he hearkened to the mind of another is just fall victim to a false god. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, man still wanting to see himself as godly, functioning very definitely after the divisivenesses of his own carnal mind, has only degraded over the course of years after a polluted and imperfect conscience. That my brothers and sisters, until man is redeemed from and beyond this massive illusions, his soul is not yet prepared for the kingdom of Yah. Romans 8 and 7, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah. It is not subject to the law of Yah, neither can it be. I want you to think about something for a minute. We've talked about that a few occasions on this show. The very word that is translated as heaven in English, the Hebrew word for it is shamayim. And it means we must love, and the word there for love also means seek completely all that is divine will with all our minds, hearts, souls, and might. This we must do, and no one deceives his brother. In so many ways, my brothers and sisters, that we love one another, that we offer to one another the opportunity in the knowledge of divine righteousness to bring to bear that which the Most High from the beginning intended. In so many ways, my brothers and sisters, Messiah said the same thing. In the testimony we find at 5:14 through 5:14 through 24, Matthias said his people ought to be a light to the world. My brothers and sisters, do you realize that the pure, perfect light and the highest vibration that is the will of the Spirit, there's no room for rebelliousness, no room for self-righteous divisions? He said in that, in Matthew 5:14-24, he said, your righteousness ultimately, he's saying, must exceed that of your leaders. All power from on high been given unto him. Matthew 28:18-20. He said, go forth and convert all the nations. So he's talking to all the leaders, the whole world. Your righteousness must exceed the divisiveness after which your leaders have become proud. So if anyone denies in any way the law of the prophets, in other words, denies that testimony that is from the beginning, because trust me, my brothers and sisters, the Most High knew from the beginning what he intended for this world. He said, if your righteousness, my brothers and sisters, does not exceed that of your leaders, who will deny divine plan in any way, form, or fashion, who will deny what is contained in the law of the prophets in any way, form, or fashion, if you fall victim to them, their carnality then, my brothers and sisters, because it's not after the Spirit of the Most High that men are driven to maintain a multitude of deleterious, self-righteous, subordinate differences. He said, if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of your leaders, if your love for the pure, perfect truth of the Most High does not exceed that of your leaders, he said, you shall in no case enter. I said, in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. He said, if any man would deceive his brother to deny what's contained in the law and the prophets, he's guilty even under hellfire. For those who would understand it, the platform of thought, the foundation of thought upon which those statements were made, vibrate perfectly in sync with the Shema. Think about it. After what spirit is it that man would choose to be irrational against that which the Most High himself decreed? I want you to think about what these scriptures said. 8:13, how about going back? 8:12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, not to walk after the carnal mind, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, how about that which divides mankind against the perfect will of Yah? If we live after the flesh, refusing divine instruction, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter? If we see carnal, or let's just say if we see division, strife among us, so we're still functioning after a carnal mind, not after his spirit. The spirit of Yah is one. It will compel us to reason as one. You say, come, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18-20. Come, let us reason together. We partake of the good of the land. But he said, if we rebel, we'll be delivered to the sword. For the mouth of the Most High has spoken, and if you will, my brothers and sisters, promised it. So understand what it means. At Romans 8:10, coming back to this. How about Romans 8:8? Say, they which are after the flesh, how about a carnal mind, cannot please Yah. Did you hear this? They who are after the flesh, how about functioning after carnal mind, not receiving divine instruction, not receiving the law of the Most High, cannot please Yah. 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah, is not subject to the law of Yah, neither can it be. Do you really think the church is supposed to be compelled after the carnal mind, rebellious against the righteousness of Yah, rebellious against the peace of the Most High, rebellious against divine order, daring to believe that a multitude of contradictions is what will enter the kingdom of Yah? The word for heaven, Shamayim, Today's my brothers and sisters, that we all must, with everything in our mind, heart, soul, and might, love and seek the Most High for the fullness of His will. For if man is not subject to the law of the Most High, if he does not love the law, the truth of the Most High, and I have to ask the question, who is he subject to? Again, Romans 8 and 8, they which are after the flesh. How about my brothers and sisters would seek to establish their own individuality? Not seeking all that is divine personality. Who would maintain their irrational carnality. Scripture says here, cannot please Yah. But he said, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if the spirit of Yah dwell in you. Now, if any man not have not the spirit of the Messiah, he is none of his. My brothers and sisters, you get this point. The scriptures tell us that only the carnal mind would resist divine will or think to be justified after the will of another. It said, if the spirit of the Messiah be in you, the body, or how about the will of the flesh, is dead because of sin. In other words, dead, they put down because of sin. How about dead to the influences? How about a worldly misconceit? What did Messiah say? What? Yohanan 17:8-9, I make no request for the worldly, but those who would hear his word. Our brothers and sisters, carnal mind, what did the scripture say? The spirit of truth, the worldly would not receive. Yohanan 14:15-17. It means, my brothers and sisters, those who would rebel against the perfect will of Yah, desires to maintain the varying contentions of this earth. How about the law of the Most High, the discipline of the Most High? The true understanding the Most High desires for his people, necessary. And we all function after the will of one. That spirit they will not receive. Think about it. We've talked about this many times. The book of Jacob says, if any man be double-minded or wants to pursue the Most High, but not beyond all doubt, wanting to retain any of the debate that's a result, that has been the result of man's rebellion against the Most High, and say, let him not think he receive anything from Yah. The church, my brothers and sisters, is a people brought together by the Most High after his spirit. What is it then, my brothers and sisters, when we look around and we see this 45,000 denominations declaring differing doctrines, different ideas, catering to so many man-made forms of self-righteousness? My brothers and sisters, don't let the world deceive you. This is not the church. There's 45,000 denominations across 280 nations, complicit after the varying strictures of man. That's not the church at all. I find it amazing that many have not understood what Babylon really is. I want you to think about it. I find it amazing that many have not understood at all what Babylon really is. Why do you think they call it Mystery Babylon? And Revelation. In the book of Revelation, why do you think they call it mystery? Mystery. Mystery Babylon. Revelation 17. Why do you think the scriptures in 2 Thessalonians call it mysteries of iniquity after the intrusions of the powers of perdition, the principalities and powers? My brothers and sisters, in the Aramaic, the scriptures talk about a certain city and what the scripture says must and shall occur there. To suddenly awaken the world. People saying when it all comes down, if you will. It talks about the people saying it's a mystery to me. It's been a mystery to me. My leanness. In other words, I was not aware. My brothers and sisters, the reason why Babylon is a mystery to most, and I'm telling you now, Babylon is all the variant misrepresentations against divine righteousness that exists in the world. And the reason why Babylon Dominion is a mystery is because guess what? The folks who run it will never tell you who they are. Did you hear me? You trust your leaders among the churches. But my brothers and sisters, think about it. 45,000 denominations, you think that brings you to a sense of absolution and surety? You think that's the gospel, the sure, pure, and perfect message? It's because they divide up the message, my brothers and sisters, catering to the ideals of men, fatally flattering the masses. I said fatally flattering the masses. And some have actually been proud in their rebellion. I want you to think about it for a minute. 45,000 denominations. You think that's a sure message? You think they all have preached the gospel? Scriptures tells when Messiah reappears that he will have to preach the gospel himself, and it's a testimony that your leaders have not taught. Read Isaiah 41. Did you hear my brothers and sisters? Read Isaiah 41, 21 through 42. And 4. None of them preached the whole message. So Messiah will have to restore something the man has departed from for many, many generations. So I understand, my brothers and sisters, what's going on. Is that men have loved the devices of men, counterfeitery of man. Think about it. Many today call themselves of the church, but the church, my brothers and sisters, people call out from the carnality of the world, and it does not mean that if you seek to sustain any of these diversitudes, that you're of that church. Many today want to call themselves Israel. Well, the Most High has a plan for Israel and a purpose for Israel. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. But my brothers and sisters, you be lying to yourself and others unto your own detriment and the detriment of many. Because the Most High has a plan for Israel. He has a purpose for Israel. He has a definition for what he calls Israel. And my brothers and sisters, it's not after the designs of any man's flesh. Call yourself whatever you will. But in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, it's just like calling upon the name of the Most High in vain, or after your own designs, and the end result of it not bringing forth peace. The end result of it, my brothers and sisters, if not according to divine plan, it's not to your salvation, my brothers and sisters, but your sure and absolute damnation. We need to wake up and understand. We live in a society where men have paid for men to flatter them, to tell them that everything's all right when it's all wrong. A gathering of carnal minds that have no love for the reproof of the Most High or the fullness of his reproof. My brothers and sisters, is not the church at all. It's an opportunity the Most High grants by his grace and by his mercy that we discern how to truly repent, that we discern truly how to serve him, that we discern what he has declared from of old, from the beginning, what is the eventuality we should prepare for. And I dare tell you that the Bible is filled with prophecy, filled with testimony, that quite frankly, your churches are not telling you. And all I can say to you right off the top here, amongst other things, is this. I dare anyone to tell me that their church is teaching everything that should have been taught. In other words, what I'm saying to you, I'm not trying to push anybody's buttons in a negative way, but I can definitely, without question, show where there's a tremendous amount of truth in this book they call a Bible that is not by and large being taught in the institution the men call the church today. And Messiah said, go forth and teach him everything he commanded. That means teach him all that is his instruction. You mean he gave you, the people really believe the Most High gave nobody any expectation? I talked on last evening about the idea that the great expectation of mankind should be that we should look forward to the opportunity to absolutely, without any question, convert. The book of Jacob says, if we seek the Most High, but not unto all his will, let us not think we receive anything from him. My brother says, we should have always looked for the expectation of the day when Messiah will return, that the absolute would be declared. Because he never said one time that a multitude of diversities would ever be found viable. I don't have any problem with being able to declare where the institutions of man have fallen short. The question I have is how many out there granted the opportunity to see where they've fallen short and desire to know better? Who has a problem, my brothers and sisters, with man being granted again that opportunity? Like I said, a gathering of carnal minds that would retain the multitude of divisions we see in the world today is not the church at all. Have we ever heard the truth, my brothers and sisters? Have we ever granted the opportunity to know the truth? We should know that if we walk after the flesh or any standard of man, any institution that would seek to flatter us to walk after any insubordinate standard, any lesser ideal, any pollution or perversion, we should know what the scriptures actually have to say about that. What scriptures say? Romans 8:13. For if we walk after the flesh, if you walk after the flesh and live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you mortify, or let's just say nullify, the deeds of the body, not just the deeds of the body, but the thoughts of the mind, then shall you live. In other words, my brothers and sisters, what scripture tell us in Isaiah 55? Let the evil man forsake his deeds and the wicked man his thoughts. For your thoughts have not been like his, but they should be. 8:12, we say we are of, so many say they're of the church. He says, therefore, brothers, we should be, who are debtors. How about my brothers and sisters? We owe the Most High. Yes, we do. We have an obligation unto him. If we ask for his Spirit to discern his perfect will, then we are obligated to seek that perfect will. But it says at 8:12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh or walk after the flesh, you should die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. We should thank the Most High, that we have an opportunity to be led by him. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. Well, my brothers and sisters, do men really believe they're being led by Yah after 45,000 denominations? I could talk about so much prophecy, my brothers and sisters, that's written in scriptures. Do people really believe it's after the Spirit that they're not taught these things? I think it's wake-up time. In fact, I know it is. I want you to think about something. If any man told you that the carnal mind shall survive the days to come, I say think again. Scripture says Most High is going to sign his name upon the minds and hearts. In other words, he's going to ratify and sanction, seal and confirm. Only the minds and hearts, my brothers and sisters, that would be true to all that is his will. What made men think, listen to the scripture now, after reading a scripture like this, it says what? If you walk after the flesh, you will die. What do you think the judgment is? What do people think they are doing? What are they allowing their leaders to do? When they're willing to pay their money, running the institution that would comfort them while they continue to walk after patterns that are before the Most High, not wise. Do you really believe Messiah comes to sit back and say, okay, whatever might be your patterns of thoughts and beliefs is okay? When it says by faith you're saved, do you think it's faith and whatever you want to believe is a righteous standard? That's somehow okay? You really think the Most High gave all your leaders the right to establish a standard, a multitude of variant standards against him? Think again. I think it's sad, my brothers and sisters, but Malachi talks about how your leaders, well, he said he'd be a swift witness against them, because they defraud the labor of his wages. They turn men aside from the ordinances which the Most High himself has given and have not kept them, robbing both men and Yah. Nevertheless, hey, a lot of your pastors out there right now, and let me tell you something, what is really, the truth about what's happening. They have made an avocation of flattering you, taking your money to make you feel good about the sin that you commit every day, saying that somehow paying them offers you a pardon. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something right now. The mind and heart of anyone that is within the voice, the sound of my voice, does not ultimately seek the full will of all the Most High would reveal to mankind, that there finally would be peace. My brothers and sisters, I'm not here for your money. Did you hear me? Most High gave me a duty. He gave me an obligation. And if anyone, my brothers and sisters, wants to sit back and feel that they are justified, if they want to feel justified, my brothers and sisters, not desiring what the Most High has required and has already devised, that there might finally be the fruition of his kingdom peace for his people on this earth, I don't want anything from you. Do you hear me? Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, I'm not going to be like a whole lot of folks out here calling themselves pastors that would tell you that a dollar will buy you approval before the Most High. My brothers and sisters, the Most High wants a habitation for his spirit that will love him with all the mind, heart, soul, and might. And in fact, I simply have to ask a simple question. Why would anyone not, who says they love him, why would they not want that pure and perfect message and that pure, perfect reproof? Or do we dare to think that the Most High is going to build his kingdom off of something else? I say, think again. There's no place for carnality, my brothers and sisters. Irrationality, personality, individuality, self-righteous ambition in the true church. The true church, my brothers and sisters, gets its commands from above, and is not at all to be a haven for all this hell we see on earth or any of its attitudes. Like I asked a question, the church is called after the will of one. What do you think this 45,000 denominations of different opinions is? You said to make no request for the worldly, but do you want this 45,000 denominations to continue? Do you want this 280 nations and all their differences to continue? You say the spirit of truth, the world will not receive. You say to make no request for the worldly. No request for those who want all these divisions to remain. No request for all this multitude of varying allegiances. I want you to think about it. He said if you seek him, you're supposed to seek him with a genuine perseverance and love beyond all debate and doubt. Why would you want it to remain? Our first commandment is to love the Most High, to seek all his ways, to rediscover and remember all that is his instruction, according to all that he declared from the beginning eternal, unto the goal of a perfect cooperation and oneness or in accord to the mind of him that made all things. Anything else, my brothers and sisters, anybody who has any other attitude and wants to desire for something else to continue forever, I'm just going to say it's simple. If your desire is not for the absolute will of the Most High to be brought to manifestation in the earth, devil, go to hell. Because quite frankly, that's the only place that anyone with such an attitude is going. You've already made your decision if you don't want the fullness of his will. Because he did not make this world to be a habitation for hell. for my brothers and sisters. What do you think you've, what do people really think they pray for when they say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And so many, if you show them the exceeding will of the Most High, your pastors don't tell you in the midst of these varied political, social, and pseudo-religious institutions. They find out about something that the pastors haven't told. I had one, I remember one time years ago, it was the first time I actually saw it for myself. But I remember showing somebody some scripture in Revelation 20 and read it to him, showed him there in Revelation 20 and scriptures like it elsewhere. And he simply told me he couldn't believe it at first because his pastor, his church didn't teach that. What do you say the church is supposed to be? He told his apostles who went forth to help establish institutions of higher learning, spiritual learning, he said, teach them everything you command. But your church hasn't taught this. In fact, church taught something entirely opposite. And you still want to qualify it and say it's the church as if the Most High lied in terms of what he defines it as? I want you to think about it. As I told you before, our first commandment is to love and seek the Most High with nothing of our flesh or anything of this world being an obstacle. Yes, the world might try to seek to halt our greater understanding. But by no means, my brothers and sisters, should we seek to even want such differences to be an excuse. We should simply want the fullness of His will. I want you to think about it. The Shema command, the truth of the gospel, the true hope of salvation, our brothers and sisters, it simply says love the will of the Most High. Think about it. Love and seek all His will. No resistance, no rebellion. Where does that leave room for the carnal mind that has enmity against the law of Yah? It doesn't have a place for it at all. Now, I find it amazing that many of you haven't realized what's really going on in your churches. They call them that anyway. Do you really think they want you healed, fully hearing from the Most High? What scripture say the covenant is? It says He would write His laws upon them. I said His laws upon the minds and hearts of a people that He'd bring back from the midst of all the nations. Restoring a covenant. If it says He's going to restore and write His law upon the minds and hearts, do you think His law is that you should despise His will? I think it's amazing. Man turned away from the will of the Most High, sought his own self-righteousness, began to despise reproof that would have brought him back to the Most High. I said despise, even began to hate the reproof that would have brought him back to the Most High, and began to splinter more and more to deeper and deeper levels of depravity. And now we live in a society that dares to say that if we don't love the hate against the Most High that brought to bear these differences, then we are haters. Our brothers and sisters, a mind that has become so warped that it doesn't understand the difference between love and hate, that doesn't understand the difference between a love for all Yah, that is the will of Yah, and hasn't understood, my brothers and sisters, that such a mind has come to love the heart of a devil, has grown extremely indiscriminate. Man, as many have said anyway, they wanted peace. But do you think if leaders really want peace, if they would preserve anything less than the fullness of divine will? Or think about it. The Hebrew word for peace relates to the idea that we must seek His perfect will. That's what He told Abraham. He told him to seek after His perfect will, and that would be a blessing to all nations. Did He say the nation would be blessed in their hatred against His perfect will? Did He tell them that Messiah came, that somehow every man's divisive allegiances, hatred against the will of one, or daring to profane the holy name after the ideals of many would still be called faith in Him unto the will of one? How did man get to be this confused? You ever stop to consider man has looked at so long and so many misexamples at this juncture in history? You become so confused, never having seen enough of a pure example, or hardly having seen a pure example at all, that he actually believes that somehow the Most High makes accommodation for hatred against his plan amongst those who call themselves of the church, converted and converting unto him. Something desperately wrong with that pattern of thought. Most High has commanded. That was not just an advisement. He said, comfort ye, O my people. He said, we must all seek him to be one. We must all prepare to be made true to the will of one. He said, if you trust those who divide you, I'm talking about Isaiah 41, I'm talking about Isaiah 57. You trust in those who kept you divided on the lesser standards. Behold, they'll all be swept away like wind and vanity. Another scripture turns around and says, they'll be done dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow. But those who put their trust in him shall inherit the land and possess his holy mountain. What made folks think that the church is a place to maintain all this varying carnality? Okay, you ran to a pastor, sit back and told you somehow the Most High likes all this sin. I've heard a lot of pastors will turn around and at least tell you the Most High hates sin, but they don't want to tell you what sin is because they don't want you to know what righteousness is. They don't want you to understand that their doctrines that they taught you have been unrighteousness. They don't want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, what they're not telling you. But again, the Most High sends a prophet after the Spirit that would teach all things, no lie in it. To speak, my brothers and sisters, what others would not. Let me tell you something. Man truly has been called by the Most High. Truly called by the Most High. The Most High has disciplined him. There's no way that soul would by any means be so easily tempted to compromise the will of the Most High because of any man's or any congregation's resistance. He knows he just simply got to tell you what the real deal is. Because if he has been disciplined by the Most High, he knows the Most High is not going to have his kingdom established any other way. If we get to the point where we just simply understand, Most High declared how his kingdom is going to be established. Everybody wants to rule, but hey, he's already established a king. He's already established the principle after which his kingdom will be created in, again in this earth and run. Anybody who doesn't like that is not part of the church. If you understand the foundation upon which the true church was built, you understand that the Most High has already established king. And he's promised to reveal through him his ways. If they didn't teach you to consider that fully in all its context, you'd ask the question, who it is that's better been teaching you? I talk oftentimes about articles on my website, like hiddengospel.com. Articles like simply just the Secret City Prophecies, written from one end of the book to the other. Talks about how this Babylonish misrepresentation is going to finally be exposed. Church like Early Church Origin, article like Early Church Origin and Forgotten Mutual Expectation tells you who Messiah truly is according to prophecy and who the early church knew that he was. Absent from this knowledge, my brothers and sisters, do you think we could have harmony with the ancient saints, refusing to believe that, which was their ancient expectation? Refusing what was to gather them together as one in the first place? Do we think we have partakership with that? I've written some things in the intro to this show. I said, if you can't believe this, the Matrix has you. If you can't believe this, you can't be saved. If you can't believe this, you have no agreement with the saints of old. Did somebody tell you otherwise? You say if your righteousness does not exceed that of your leaders, who obviously are hiding the truth from you in some way, form, or fashion, you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Meaning, when he says, love and seek him with all your mind, heart, soul, and might, it means that even if your leaders and all that is in your society or all that is in your personal idea and perspective of a world has hidden or denied these things, you still have a command to seek them. I said a command to seek them. The whole world be a liar and deceiver. Yah is still going to be true to all his word. Would you like to be just suddenly caught off guard and find out that you haven't even prepared yourself to have even the remotest dimension of strength to follow, to discern those words and that command? Daniel 10 talks about these last days, and it says in that time that none of the wicked shall understand the Messiah. They won't understand his command. Those who haven't desired all his will won't understand his command because they still want to be justified by something less. And this will be a quite much so, get my point, a very critical time. Desires that they be justified in the little they do understand, not seeking more, will be the undoing for many. He said the wicked shall not understand, but those who have done good works have sought to prepare themselves to do all the Most High declared, they shall understand. Isaiah 28 says, his word be line upon line, precept upon precept. The many will find they never had the fundamental ideas to quickly understand. They hadn't had, let's just say, the opportunity at the hand of their leaders even to allow these ideas to deeply soak into their minds and hearts so they understand the consistency of them. You think the Most High is going to build his kingdom upon a people not even prepared to hearken to his words, to understand his conversation, to cooperate in it? Scripture says that those people that he will certify, confirm, call steadfast, preserve. He said they'd be prepared, my brothers and sisters, without deceit in their mind and heart or in their mouths to follow the Lamb wherever he leads. Scripture already warned us in advance if we're not willing to be utmost diligent when the time comes to follow a command, we won't be able to. Especially, my brothers and sisters, a man has become so prideful that he has somehow felt, because he believed the Most High doesn't have a law, that he doesn't need to seek the greater truth. A lot of scripture that relates that. An article, Secret City Prophecies, explains it in so many ways. But my brothers and sisters, you ever stop to consider the reason why they don't teach you the Secret City Prophecies? Because they didn't want you to realize just how dangerous your desire to run to somebody's church to tell you everything okay after your ignorance. But they didn't want you to realize just how dangerous that really is. And my brothers and sisters, if they would sit back and tell you that the people in one minute will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge, if they turn around and tell you that folks have not been destroyed in their ignorance and not known it, if they sit back and told you whether ignorance was not an excuse, they lied to you. Romans 2nd chapter, if you die without the law, you perish without the law. Messiah told folks 2,000 years ago, if you do not believe that I am he, in other words, not just believe that I am he, but don't believe my instruction, because it says, if you abide in my word, are you truly my disciples? He said, if you're my disciples, you know the truth will set you free. If you do not believe that I am he said, you will die in your sins. How about if you're not willing to abide in the fullness of my word, you will perish under the misconceits, the partialities, and the pollutions of another. Why don't your leaders teach it to you that way? And the scriptures already tell us only a few in the last days are going to be quick to understand when all things are done in time. To discern quickly, my brothers and sisters, who Messiah really is and what is indeed his instruction. If they told you that you can suddenly comprehend all of this without preparation, my brothers and sisters, so many ways they made you so sure that you'll still be able to understand without right preparation. They lied to you. Okay, you can think about this. I mean, just consider for a minute. You've only been to kindergarten and first grade. And somebody puts college courses in front of your face, you figure like you're already ready to follow the instructions and learn effectively, usefully, what's set in front of you. And you're just not learning to read. Well, brothers and sisters, you ever stop to consider that these, you're paying a whole lot of these folks out here to make sure you perish? Wake up and understand. Wake up and realize the reality. I told you there's a lot of things on my website at hiddengospel.com. I would say articles like The Secret City Prophecies, Early Church Origin, and Forgotten Mutual Expectation, Tribulation 70 to 365 AD. Remember the Promise, Gospel of Shiloh, things I've been seeing on a regular basis on this show for some time. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, I've said over and over again that a soul can't be saved or made whole, or let's just say able to commune with all the saints in peace, high depth and breadth, without. You got to have it. And I dare say it makes no sense to resist coming to know it, because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, no one who will ultimately enter and have, let's just say, constant residence in the kingdom of Yah, will not, well, let's just say no one who would enter the kingdom of Yah, will be able to resist or deny this knowledge. And quite frankly, my brother says, no one will be able to resist that knowledge and live. Messiah said, if you let your righteousness exceed that of your leaders, discovering the truth they hid from you, you shall in no case enter. We must be prepared to seek him, discern all that is his will. Messiah, the scriptures do say in Isaiah 42 that for many, he will lead the blind by the way they knew not. But my brothers and sisters, that's those who, what the scriptures say in Isaiah 9, would turn, would turn from transgression. He didn't say those who would seek to preserve the will of their carnal minds or fleshly minds, resistant minds. There's no place for a resistant mind in the kingdom of Yah. My brothers and sisters, it won't be confirmed as steadfast. That means if you have to see beyond debate, all debate and doubt, that means beyond all uncertainty or infirmity that might be in your heart. Listen to what I'm saying. In the book of Yaakov, it talks about the idea that we must seek him with all our minds, heart, soul, and might. It still means the same thing. Our faith bringing forth the perfect work beyond all debate and doubt. In other words, my brothers and sisters, it means unto the your being discerned as steadfast and firm in your resolve to obey all that is divine will. Think about it. Second Kefa 3:14-18. He says, be careful lest any man deceive you, that you fall from steadfastness. He said, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You think, my brothers and sisters, the Most High is going to trust the building and establishment of his kingdom upon a multitude of uncertain souls? I say, think again. It's time we understand some very critically important truths. I want to just simply say this. I've extended the show a little bit, but I want to just run a few things off that I might need to go ahead and explain more so in the time to come. But just consider this for a minute. Messiah's appearance is to end all the debates. Why do people think that he comes to compromise with them? I said he comes to end all the debates. Scriptures talk about it in the book of Hebrews, 7th to 9th chapter, it talks about how, you know, man fell away from that country because his priests were carnal. They came and died. But the scriptures tell us the Messiah, in the 12th chapter of Yohanan, it will be with man forever. Why? To make sure that the standard of what is raised remains. Isaiah 59, that the covenant remains in the minds and hearts of his people forever. That the covenant remains. In other words, Messiah is offering man an opportunity to partake of his birthright unto eternal life. But the only way you partake of that eternal life, you have to accept the eternal word. It is an agreement. There is no contradiction in life. There's no contradiction in eternal life, as the Most High has declared and decreed it. So understand, what the man dare to believe that the reward, he can attain to eternal life, attain what the Most High calls steadfast and maintaining peace after his carnally rebellious mind? I think about scriptures, around the 20th chapter of Ezekiel, around 37th verse, somewhere up in there, there's a scripture that says, actually, that he's going to remove the rebels from the midst. I said he will remove the rebels. Why is it that your pastors have not told you that there's no place for the carnal mind in the kingdom of Yah? Did you hear me? Man is simply counted a blessing to have an opportunity to discern the truth, and he should be grateful for it. Why haven't they taught you with that perspective in mind? It's actually Ezekiel 20 and 38. Say, I'll purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. What do you say? He will grant deliverance. He will save those who will turn from transgression. Ezekiel 30:27. Here's the verse I was speaking of. I will cause you to pass under the rod. In other words, the rod of his discipline. It's an unshaking discipline. It's like a rod of iron. And it's, I'll bring you into the bond of the covenant. That means he will compel all to seek beyond all their carnal differences, beyond all the misdirections of this world, beyond all the diverse misallegiances and divisions wrought of the carnal mind. Because what he built is one. He said, I'll purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I'll bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you should know that I am the Most High. I think that's pretty plain. He said those who have a rebellious mind and heart against his perfect will shall not enter into the land of Israel. I think that's pretty plain enough. I think it's pretty plain enough, my brother and sister. We have should be wise enough. I said should be wise enough to seek perfect repentance. Seeking perfect what is the will of the Most High. I said seeking perfectly what is the will of the Most High. That there be no contentious division among us. Scripture said with the breath of his lips, after the spirit of the Most High shall he slay the wicked. How about anyone who is rebellious against the true knowledge of Yah? And then the knowledge of Yah shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Think about the gospel went forth to the nations. But the nations were resisting, my brothers and sisters. Why do you think all the multitude of varying nations still exist? He said, convert the nations. They were converted. They wouldn't be a bunch of different nations all declaring something different. And saying, then shall all the nations seek him. And his rest shall be glorious. It looked like he went out of time. Wow.